there is a fine line between being empathetic and enabling. Right. And unfortunately, the city of Tucson, we have drifted way far into the enabling territory. Fentanyl is 50 cents a pill on the streets. Mm-hmm. It's lethal for 6 out of 10 users. We lead the state in fatal opioid overdoses because we don't have enough police officers. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's a tough job. They can't get enough recruits. Everybody's having a hard time hiring right now. We were the prime advocates on the Transition Center, which is a program next to the Pima County Jail that didn't exist until we got involved. We have crawled through glass to understand what's going on at the street level, what's going on with law enforcement, what's going on with nonprofits, what's going on with our government. And what we have found is that there's a complete lack of coordination.
Welcome to The Upside. My name is Edmund Marquez. Thank you for joining us. We are sponsored today by the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, the Lumify Creative Agency, and your Tucson Sugar Skulls. Super excited. We have a buddy of mine here today. His name is Josh Jacobson. He is part of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, super excited. So you and I have known each other years. I mean, maybe 20 years. We've been involved in multiple organizations, usually pro-community, pro-business, pro-economy. Mm-hmm. So obviously in the last several years, I think you guys established in 2022, Tucson Crime Free Coalition. You have absolutely been in the trench for trying to improve Tucson. And I admire you for it, which is why we really wanted you on the show. Tell us just mile high, Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Tell us what you guys do.
Yeah, well, it does feel like it's been since 1922 some days, I'll tell you that much. But very briefly, you know, myself, Kevin Daly, who is a software engineer, Monica Carlson, she's in the heating and cooling business. In early 2022, we started having some of the same issues in the community with in regards to crime, substance use disorder, the way it was affecting us. And so we basically organized a large town hall meeting. We had about 300 people show up. And what we did is we created a venue for people to talk about their frustrations and concerns about what was going on the streets and how it was impacting them. We had many of our elected officials that were in attendance. And it was our hope that after that town hall meeting, that the elected officials would take the feedback, which a lot of it was very direct, no punches pulled, and start working on solutions, start understanding like, hey, crime and drugs are a big problem on the streets of Tucson. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So we formally created the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Our website is tucsoncrimefree.com if anybody wants to check that out. We have a newsletter that we send out periodically, normally like twice a month or every week, depending on what's going on. We have about 8,000 people that read that. And then we've gotten big onto social media where we're on all the different platforms. And our Facebook channel alone, you know, we get millions of views on our content because we are out showing what is really happening on the streets of Tucson.
So let's go mile high still. So you and I have, I know you went to high school here.
Yep.
Are you born here?
I was born in DC.
Oh, DC. Okay.
We moved here when I was 5.
So you're a Tucsonan. So yep. We have seen Tucson change over the years. And it's not just Tucson. I mean, mm-hmm. You can go to San Diego, you can go to San Francisco, you can go to different areas and you see this homeless population, I'll say out in the open more. Mm-hmm. Obviously we have a free bus fare here, which I think in my own opinion is great to have, obviously, because we're helping some people get to work, right? That need that free bus fare, but there's a massive liability attached to it, which is safety of bus drivers, which I know I just read the paper this morning that they just settled with the union. It looks like RTA is putting a couple $1 million in mm-hmm. to help protect our bus drivers, but it's also spread this population wide. What are you seeing from just from the free bus fares? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think it's important to know, like, not everybody we see on the streets that are using drugs out in the open, not everybody's homelessness, but we do have a large homeless population on the streets that is chronic, and that population is not decreasing; it's staying flat. As far as the buses go, we have been very vocal about needing to return fares and safety to the buses for the riders and the drivers. And what we are seeing is that the city has decided, because it's the mayor and council, they're the only ones that can bring fares back. They've decided this is the hill that they're going to die on. And what we are seeing is that ridership year to date from the SunTran monthly reports, it's down. Even though the city, you know, likes to talk about it being a wonderful thing. What's up, like big time, is on-demand ridership. So you have SunTran down, people that can, you know, get it together and call on demand. That's up like 26%.
On demand by SunTran.
On demand by SunTran. That's available to anybody.
Yeah.
So our position has always been that return fares for folks that can pay, subsidize or give free fares to people that need the financial assistance. That's the way it's been in the past. Otherwise, yeah, we're creating basically a way to move crime and drugs around the streets of Tucson. And you know, people sometimes have a hard time wrapping their minds around it, but you can go to some of the bus stops that are greatly affected along the Fort Lowell corridor,
Fort Lowell Road corridor.
Yeah. You know, and you can actually watch drug deals go on in place. You can watch dealers come re-up people that get onto the bus. They look around, they check who's on there that they can sell to, they can step off. And by the way, somebody that steps on and off the bus, that's counted as a ride, whether they ride it or not. That's the way it works. The other thing that's really interesting is that the Sunlink, and this is, you know, in your wheelhouse, that is down considerably. We're talking about over 20% ridership decrease in Sunlink. And these numbers, it's by SunTran. It is from January, February, and March. That's the latest that they have out. And so these numbers are available to anybody that wants to look at it. So having free fares, you know, it's, I think that there's other motives by the mayor and council, and they're willing to ignore the violence, the crime, the drug dealing, all of that. And they look at it as acceptable casualties because it promotes what they want to promote.
And it seems like we're starting to see a bit of a split on the city council. They're not absolutely unanimous. Is that happening?
Yes, that's correct. So, Nikki Lee and council member Paul Cunningham, those two wanted to at least create a way to get community feedback. And mayor and council said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing any feedback. And so part of what we do with Tucson Crime Free is we don't just complain. We actually go out and we look at what other jurisdictions are doing, where there's been failures or where there's been successes. And so if you look at San Francisco, and we know that San Francisco has been, you know, ground zero for, you know, drugs and crime and chronic homelessness for quite some time. And what they did is they were having a problem with people stealing fares. They were, you know, they had people jumping over the meters to get onto their rapid transit. So what they did is they bolstered it so that you can't jump over. You have to pay your fare. They added more police presence on to the rapid transit. And what they saw was a 41% decrease in overall crime, 31% decrease in violent crime, 41% or 43% decrease in property crime. So there is something connected when there is accountability and there is law enforcement presence on transit.
Speaking of law enforcement, we had former chief Chad Kasmar on our podcast like a month ago. What's happening realistically with the number of police officers versus crime response times, 911, whether they answer the phone or not?
Or not.
Yeah. What's happening? What are you guys seeing from your side?
So I think everybody agrees we don't have enough police officers, and there's a lot of reasons for that. It's a tough job. They can't get enough recruits. Everybody's having a hard time hiring right now. And then when we're looking at the actual arrests, you know, a lot of times we'll talk to the officers and they realize like, hey, look, if I arrest this guy that's, you know, using fentanyl or meth out in the open, I'm going to take him down to the jail. I'm going to book him in. He's going to be walking out before I'm even done doing my paperwork.
Why is that?
Because there's, if people go through pretrial services or there's a lack of will on the prosecution and people know that there's just no accountability. You know, TPD actually put out a video recently of them arresting a 14-year-old girl that was already on probation. And as they're walking her to the police car in cuffs, she's like, you know, you guys are jokes. I'm going to be out right away. This is a waste of your time. So we even have young people that understand this game. In addition, a lot of people don't know this, but in terms of booking people in Pima County Jail, there's what's called medical rejections. And this is something that Tucson Crime Free advocated to bring up the budget for NAFCARE. That's the group that runs the medical treatment inside of the jail. If you show up and you're getting booked into the jail and you say that you've had fentanyl or Narcan within the last 3 hours, you get medically rejected.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Or if you show up and you have, you know, some sort of a bad wound or you were in a motor vehicle accident, you get medically rejected. So then the arresting officer has either a, you know, decision to make, take the time to take you to the hospital, get you medically cleared, take you back to jail, or basically just give you a paper ticket to go on your way.
So Channel 3 in Seattle, the news station, had a program that called Seattle is Burning. Have you ever seen that?
We have seen that.
Yeah. Okay. So in that portion, they were interviewing a guy downtown who was living on the streets. And he knew every rule and law
yes.
within the Seattle Police Department and knew exactly how far he could take it and literally was standing there doing drugs in front of a police officer. You've probably seen it downtown. He's standing over the trash can and basically said, I know exactly how far I can take it and they can't do anything. He said, Seattle's mine. He goes, I own Seattle. And it sounds like we've gotten to that point, whether it's how we're taking people down to get prosecuted or at least going into jail for drugs. It was my understanding that we had basically made it legal to have 9 fentanyl pills in your pocket because you won't be busted until you have 10.
And, you know, once you get into the, we have talked to the county prosecutor, Laura Conover, about this ad nauseum. It's hard to get an actual number on that. Like what state statute is that one fentanyl pill is a felony crime.
I mean, right.
That's the way, but you know, then you start talking to the prosecutors and they're like, okay, well, you know, they start describing situations and it becomes a lack of will on the prosecution part. And, you know, again, when you have elected officials that are overseeing departments like our county prosecutor does, well, that sets the tone for what laws we're going to enforce and essentially not enforce.
Yeah. So I typically break the third wall and I talk to the viewers and here's what you have to ask yourself is, what do we want? What we want is a safe city. We want a clean city. We want to be happy. We want a place where we can live with our families and not have to worry if we're going to be down the street or heck, I mean, we haven't even gotten into it yet, but I own commercial properties. You deal with people with commercial property. You have commercial properties.
Yep.
And they are absolutely vandalized, trashed, graffitied, et cetera. And the frustration comes at a point where we don't feel like we can get help. Right. I love TPD. I'm a huge fan of TPDM. I thank them every time I see them, but they're so undernumbered, right? That they can't assist us in a way they can. And if there's no political will within our city government to assist in certain areas, like the dangerous to ride a bus nowadays, to people panhandling, to there was a moment in which I just pulled into town and I saw a sign on a pole in a median that said no panhandling here.
It actually says those are our signs, Edmund.
Oh,
yeah.
So
Tucson Crime Free Coalition worked with the county to get those signs up, and it essentially says rather than giving to a panhandler, donate to an organization that can help.
Well, it was my understanding that the county said yes, and the county put them up. But when you approach the city said no.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That is correct.
Okay.
Even though the city has an active ordinance that went back and forth, but it's, I believe last year, they finally said, we are going to enforce the ordinance on no panhandling on the city medians, which has not happened, and no camping in public parks, which that has not happened either.
Yeah. Let's take a step back. This will be interesting. So I am absolutely involved in this community and you're in a lot of the rooms with me. Like I will gladly wear my sport coat and go to La Paloma and go to an SALC meeting to learn about what's going on and be in the room of rooms and talk with other community leaders on how we can improve our community.
Yep.
You are literally willing to go into the underpasses with a video camera to look at human feces and, you know, needles.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the trench,
right?
You were absolutely in the trench, which I admire. Like I'll be really honest with you. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not doing that anytime soon. I mean, it was bad enough that I'm 52 years old. I'm a born and raised Tucson boy through and through and through. I'm a Tucson boy. And I did not see drugs or a drug deal till like 3 years ago, so I was riding my bike on the loop and I watched somebody do a drug deal while the two were doing a drug deal while one dude was sitting next to him smoking something on a piece of tinfoil. I'm like, It took me to 50, man. It took me to get to age 50 till I saw this. So thank you for being in the trench. But I want to know from a mile high view, like, give me your top three accomplishments from Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Like, what have you guys done with all of that you're doing?
Yeah. So sometimes it feels like we're just on a hamster wheel. So we do look back and we look at these accomplishments. We've led some of the largest calls to action in terms of getting our members to send correspondence to the mayor and council about issues like the free bus and how that's impacting them. We've got the signs up in the median. We were the prime advocates on the Transition Center, which is a program next to the Pima County Jail that didn't exist until we got involved. And the Transition Center has a huge success rate. Essentially, what it is when you get released from jail, it used to be you just walked out and got on the free bus and went back to doing whatever you were doing that got you there in the first place. Now you have to walk through a fenced chute. You go into a modular building. The building is staffed with navigators, people that understand addiction. They've overcome it or they've been incarcerated themselves. Their whole job is to try to sit you down and say, look, you know, Edmund, you're here. You've got this addiction. We've got these programs. What can we get you into? First year alone, recidivism went from 27% to 11% in terms of people that took the time to take some of those services, saved taxpayers over $940,000.
Wow.
It's grant funded. So then we started getting into legislation because we started seeing like, okay, Title 36, that's our Arizona state statute in terms of how we deal with people that have serious mental illness and substance use disorder. And we started looking at where are the faults there? Because right now, if an officer arrests somebody and they take them to the crisis response center because they're acting erratic and they can see that there's like some sort of a mental challenge going on, once you're admitted into the crisis response center, the clinicians will evaluate you. If they determine you're there because you're high on meth, fentanyl, or whatever substance it is, they have to release you in less than 24 hours. That's by state statute. Looking at what other states have done, like California, they have, it's called involuntary holds on people. And so what we started doing is saying, okay, well, what if we did like some sort of a stabilization period? So we've ran bills at the state legislature for the last 3 years with the help of Pima County, with the help of lots of different groups to create a 5-day stabilization period. We can bring people off those drugs. We can ask them if they want some sort of medical assisted treatment on stabilizing them, you know, because that's the tough thing, right? You can give people, it's called MAT, treatment for fentanyl, but there's nothing that exists for methamphetamine. Hmm. And most people are poly users. They flip back and forth.
Yeah.
So we started looking at that. We've been unsuccessful there, but we have been successful on helping with other bills like Prop 312. That's the tax credit for property owners. We've also done stuff with the Teamsters.
I voted yes for that.
Yeah. Thanks. Because it passed overwhelmingly statewide.
I was shocked. I was so happy when it did.
But we have a big solution that we've been working on for over a year. So you mentioned that, you know, we go into the tunnels, we go into the encampments. We have crawled through glass to understand what's going on at the street level, what's going on with law enforcement, what's going on with nonprofits, what's going on with our government. And what we have found is that there's a complete lack of coordination. There's a lot of great people doing really hard work, but there's nothing that pulls all of the services, all of the data, everything together in one place. So we've actually created a piece of technology. It's a tool that does just that. So imagine if you're a navigator and your whole job is to go out into the encampments, meet people, try to direct them into services. Each time a navigator makes contact with that person, whatever information they take down, it's, you know, generally on pen and paper or whatever, but that information is lost once that navigator goes away. And what I mean by that is if a navigator from another nonprofit comes and talks to that individual, they don't know any of the history on this person.
Wow.
They don't know what services they've been in. They don't know what needs they have. They don't know if this person has ever been into a nonprofit. Once that person does get into some sort of a shelter or treatment center, a lot of times they leave, they don't complete it, but then that's lost if they go to another nonprofit. That nonprofit doesn't know what kind of treatment that person has already had. None of our data is real time. We don't even take a lot of data. And so our technology, it's called the Nexus. People can go to nexusforhope.com. It mates up with all existing software. It pulls out any information that nonprofits put in. There's something called HMIS. That's a homeless management information system. We actually had the opportunity, because of our friend Congressman Juan Siscomani, to sit down with Secretary Scott Turner of HUD and talk to him about this, and you know, give him our perspective. And you know, Secretary Turner's not terribly happy with the city of Tucson because they keep suing him, because he believes that we need more accountability in this area, and that there's too much money that's just being thrown into the wind. And so that's part of another thing that our technology does, is it tracks what's working, what's not working, who's rejecting services, who's taking service, what are those services, how are we being successful? But the bottom line is we have to make a lot more contact with folks on the street. Just to give you the numbers, you know, the recent point in time count showed that there's about 2,000 homeless people in the Tucson area. I'm rounding numbers, 2,000. About 800 of those are chronically homeless. And so that means those are the folks that are on the streets. They're also becoming service resistant, meaning it's harder and harder to get them into treatment. And what we're also seeing is that the reported rates of substance use disorder and serious mental illness have essentially doubled since 2023. So we've got a chronic population that's staying on the streets. They're not taking services, but they're also getting sicker. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. And some of these individuals are seasonal, aren't they?
It used to be more so that way. One of our members, Monica Carlson, she was involved with the Navajo Wash lawsuit. If folks remember that, that's that little wash on Fort Lowell. It's a pocket park. There was a big encampment there, and the residents ended up filing a suit against the city of Tucson. They have won, but the city of Tucson keeps fighting them to try to appeal it. They won again, and now they're getting a settlement from the city, but the city's now fighting them over the settlement. So they just won't give up. But what we learned is that, yes, there used to be more seasonal folks here, but the problem is, when you understand addiction, and you know, I'll be candid, you know this, but I've had people very close to me in my life that have struggled with addiction in the worst ways. I know it up, you know, I know it up close and personal. There is a fine line between being empathetic and enabling. Right. And unfortunately, the city of Tucson, we have drifted way far into the enabling territory. Fentanyl is 50 cents a pill on the streets. Mm-hmm. It's lethal for 6 out of 10 users. We lead the state in fatal opioid overdoses. And all of that is because the city of Tucson has done things like give out tents, tarps, sleeping bags, things that people need to essentially stay on the streets. They have enabled this situation to exist and persist. And then we go back to that lack of accountability that we talked about earlier. So we've got a perfect storm here in Tucson. We're close to the border. The fentanyl is cheap. Now you can get services in lots of different places around town. You can stay here easily year round. But what we are seeing when we're out in the encampments, talking to folks, and by the way, we go out there with nonprofits and we act as navigators on our own, always trying to find out what the needs of people and how we can get them into services. But what we are finding is that there's people that are coming to Tucson because of those reasons, because of the cheap fentanyl, because it's so,
reputation now.
Yeah. It's so easy to live on the streets here. And so we call that fentanyl tourism. And, that's another great thing that our technology does. It tracks where people are coming from, where they're going. Our technology, the Nexus, is actually meant, it's built to be deployed nationwide so that we can get a real handle on what's going on because of the migration that you're talking about.
Yeah. I got two thoughts in my head. And one is, thank you so much. Like, you don't get paid to do this. I mean, you guys, you are literally just, this has become part of your life. And I really appreciate it. The other part is that pragmatic side of me that's saying no good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
So how are these organizations or the city, nonprofits, et cetera, county reacting to you?
Yeah. So, well, you know, the mayor and council, for the most part, they don't really appreciate us. And we've given them a lot of reasons not to, because we've been very vocal about the failures and we'll continue to be vocal about that. We get along with county administration great. Anybody that truly wants to work on solutions, I think, values us. And we actually created the Nexus with the input of several different nonprofits, with talking to homeless folks on the streets, like, hey, what if you had an app on your phone that the government gives you, because government does give phones to people, that could tell you, hey, right now, if you want to go get services, where you can go? They'd be like, that's cool, because I don't even know about these services.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are liked by a lot of folks that see the value in what we're trying to do. But I'll tell you, this is the problem with the electeds. They are not curious enough to find out what the real problem is, to come up with solutions. They would rather work on their projects that appease the people that vote for them to get them elected so that they can stay in office, rather than going down and being boots on the ground, going out and truly understanding what the problem is and how we can solve it. They're not incentivized to do that.
Yeah. So this is called the upside. Mm-hmm. If you and I were sitting here 3 years from now, what would have had to have happened in the last 3 years for you to say, this has absolutely been a success and we as a community are on the right track?
Yeah. So what we would like to see is overdoses decreasing. And they have at times. We had a decrease in 24 and then it increased in 25. And part of that is because of, we've got a new drug on the street called Trank. Fentanyl is being mixed with xylazine now. Xylazine is a large animal tranquilizer.
The hell?
Yeah, think of a horse, think of elephant, whatever it is. And the problem with that drug is that Narcan doesn't counteract it, because it's a tranquilizer
tranquilizer. Yep. I gotcha.
Yeah. So it's deadly. So we're seeing that. So we would like to see overdoses come down. We would like to see property crimes come down. We would like to see our streets cleaner. We would like to see more people getting into sobriety and having less rates of recidivism, which we are seeing that in some places. And we would love to be able to deploy the Nexus. We're working on trying to get a beta test funded for Pima County and then getting all of the nonprofits to buy onto it. And the big selling point there is we're trying to make it so easy to use this technology that everyone wants to use it so that it becomes successful. So the money to deploy it and the buy-in from the folks to use it. But everybody we've demoed it for absolutely loves it. They say it's exactly what we need. So 3 years from now, we would like to see Tucson going back to what it looked like when we were young. You know, not having to explain to your kids why the guy at the bus stop is smoking foil. You know, not having to explain to your kid why, you know, you show up to your commercial property and the front window's smashed in for no reason. Those types of things. You know, we also are big into the economic drivers of Tucson. We know that Tucson's extremely poor. We've got a 20% poverty rate. We are the only city in our 11 Western state peer cities that posted a negative employment growth. Mm-hmm. You know that. I mean, that's a problem. You know, we don't have a community where our U of A grads want to stay. So, you know, that's another part of it, is creating a more successful and prosperous Tucson, because we're poor and our electeds are also making it more expensive for us to live here with all the tax increases and fee increases. And, you know, my goodness, we're all getting charged now on our Tucson water bill to clean up the parks that other people are trashing. You know, that's not right.
Yeah. Well, from one Tucsonan to another Tucsonan, I just want to say thank you. I mean, you are absolutely in the trench. Thank you to everyone involved in Tucson Crime Free Coalition, because you're doing the dirty work and you're not even getting compensated. You guys are really truly volunteering your time in our community, so we appreciate it. But thank you very much. This has been Josh Jacobson. I'm almost speechless. They do so much work for us, so I really appreciate you guys. My name is Edmund Marquez. This is The Upside. We are sponsored today by the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, Lumify Marketing, and your Tucson Sugar Skulls. Thank you, Josh Jacobson and Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for having me.